Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a great show for you today, and we're going to be looking at physical therapy, or the what happens during injury, as well as what happens when you recover, and how do you take back control, not just of your body, but of your mind. We've got a fantastic guest today. But you're listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. And you could listen to past shows by going to KRUUFM.com and looking at the shows. Or you could go to the YouTube channel, which is Ardent Counseling Center. Just type that into YouTube. Or you could go to www.ardentcenter.com and you'll see a tab for media that'll have the shows there as well. All right, enough about that stuff. We got a great show, and please contact us. Send us some emails, shows that you'd like, you know, any thoughts you got at scott@ardencenter.com, or just go to www.ardencenter.com and you could pick up stuff there. Okay, so our guest today is Adam. Tell him about yourself.
I am Adam Conalog. I'm a doctor of physical therapy at Universal Therapy Group here in Fairfield. I've got a background, a bachelor's degree in kinesiology and health promotion, and right now I'm practicing with my wife at a clinic here in town locally, doing mostly outpatient and orthopedics physical therapy. We've been here for about 4 years now in Fairfield, and things are going great, and I'm glad to be here with Scott talking about kind of how our two fields relate.
Absolutely. And full disclosure, I have actually seen you for physical therapy, and I think you're the greatest.
And I don't think that's a HIPAA violation.
Yeah, right. Yes, because I disclosed. But, you know, what's really cool is that people could be listening to this anywhere in the world. So it could be in Norway, in Chicago, right, where I'm from, or anywhere listening to this, and getting the notion of how am I actually in my body? It's kind of an interesting thing. You know, not to be metaphysical for a second, but our body is this vehicle, right? And if you garbage in, garbage out, you drink lots of crappy pop and other kinds of thing. Sorry, I know that there's soda amendments on the agendas on some of these political things. But if you eat stuff or drink stuff or do stuff to your body, or you injure your body, as we're talking about today, it affects your mind.
Yeah.
And obviously, depending on how you feel, it incapacitates you and it affects your body again. But it's also, if I'm not exercising enough, we talk about all the time about needing to exercise, right?
Yeah, very important.
Very essential. And if I'm not getting enough exercise, then I'm going to start maybe going back into depression or anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the easiest, quickest things you could do, right?
Yeah, as a whole, exercise is really one of the most important things you can do for your body as far as maintaining your physical health, your mental health, and preventing injuries that's going to lead you down that road of, you know, despair and maybe depression just from an injury and lack of function and not being able to do your normal daily tasks or your job, your sports, your activities. So maintaining that health is really important, but also preventing injuries and recovering from those appropriately is important. I tell patients a lot of times about, you know, your car and, you know, the mechanic of the car. Your body's, you know, the most important tool, vehicle, instrument that you have. So if you're not maintaining it correctly, it's going to break down. And if your car breaks down, you don't just wait and keep driving on a flat tire. You fix it right away. You don't just keep driving and driving until pretty soon all four of your tires are flat, and now you've ruined your rims and your wheels and your brakes are going out. So one thing can lead to another. So when you have something that's injured, the best thing that I tell people is try to get it fixed right away. So, you know, you sprain your ankle, you pull a muscle, you injure your back. It's really easy to put it off and wait and wait and wait, and you think it's going to get better, and a lot of times it will. But when it doesn't, you know, after that couple weeks' time, it's time to start looking into what we can do to fix that problem and, you know, get it taken care of earlier versus putting it off and then having more and more problems and then not being able to do the things you want to do. And then it's going to really start affecting your mental health as far as, you know, anxiety about doing things, depression about not being able to do what you want to do. Very common with athletes that get injured and then all of a sudden they can't get back to doing what they want to do, what they love. It's really debilitating, and then it becomes very psychological about, you know, fearful even about whether they're going to get their life back or not.
Yeah. Well, and again, one thing feeds into the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't, again, have to be metaphysical about mind and body and spirit mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's really direct. And if I'm not getting enough exercise, it will affect my brain. And if my brain's affected, it will affect my body and my recovery. And again, not getting enough exercise will make me more down.
Yeah,
especially if that was a tool to help you get better. Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you get an injury? I mean, you get people all the time. You see a lot of athletes at your clinic. As well as other people. And then they're not able to be as physical as they want. What do you see? How do you think it affects their minds or the mental health?
Well, you see it affects them almost right away, especially if you're not able to work, if you're self-employed, your family is dependent on you for income, or you're on sports, your team is relying on you to be able to perform, you want to be able to perform. So it's really almost immediate as far as how you feel, you know, the changes that are going through your mind, because you never know if you're going to be back to 100% or not and how that's going to affect you in the long term. So what we do when we see patients, and along with, you know, with physical therapy in general, the best thing you can do is counsel and educate somebody. So when they come in for an injury, a lot of times maybe they've been diagnosed by a physician, maybe not, but they may not really have a good understanding of what that injury is or what even really happened. So breaking out the anatomy book, showing, hey, well, this is that tendon that you tore or that you strained. This is the kind of the time frame of healing. So get an understanding that there's something you can do about it and you know what's going on. Teach them strategies of how to protect that area and then kind of get on that path of healing, and definitely having an active involvement in your rehab process is very important, because then you kind of take control of that a little bit. You need to take control over that pain and over that injury instead of it controlling you and, you know, your daily life. So you have to know what it is that you're dealing with and how to kind of take control over that and lessen that impact, and then kind of gradually be on that road to recovery. It's kind of a challenging task, actually.
Absolutely. But even just having that understanding. So when I talk to people about, let's say, depression or anxiety, just a mental illness or incapacitation. It's not enough just to understand. It's not enough to just to feel. So therapeutic process has often been, you know, the old joke is, so what do you feel about that? It's not enough just to feel what you're feeling. You've got to be able to not just feel it and understand it, but act on it. And if somebody's injured, like I got injured, yes, you actually have to feel what you're feeling, which is a strange concept. Where is there actually pain in my body instead of numbing to my pain? And then understanding, oh, this is what's going on. Okay, this is the normal thing. I'm unique, but I'm not unique. This has happened to 100,000 million other people.
Letting people know that this is common is really helpful too, because then they can relate and realize that this is something that can get better, that will get better. But knowing, you know, what the steps are to take in order to
achieve that. But you actually have to take the steps. You actually have to do something.
Exactly.
You can't just sit on the couch and whine about it. You kind of got to go, okay, I hurt my foot. What do I do about it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you don't want to get better, it's probably not going to get better. And we see that a lot too. Even though in the context of chronic pain, even though the stimulus that was causing that pain initially is no longer there, you've kind of made adaptive changes to your body, you know, compensation strategies. You know, your body is now interpreting things differently. Your brain is interpreting those signals along those neural pathways differently. So you really have to, like you said, be aware and be able to take those steps to kind of break that kind of cycle that you've been in to start, you know, living your life again.
So how do you get people to do that, to break that cycle? Because they're coming in your door to get healing. And, you know, I could see, you know, people coming in and they're struggling with that notion. Okay, am I really going down this path? And then, all right, am I really committing to this process that's going to cost them money maybe, or at least time? Okay, an hour a week, 2 hours a week for the next month, 6 months, whatever, right? It's not just, I thought about it, okay, I felt it, okay, let me go on with my life. It's like, no.
Yeah, you have to talk them through those steps as far as taking action and getting involved in the process. Because if I'm just telling you to do something and you're not doing it, that's not going to help us, you know, at all. So you have to be able to get that person to, you know, buy in to what you're selling as far as, you know, exercise or specific treatments, activities, starting to do things, you know, out of their comfort zone or that they may not want to do. And they kind of think, sometimes they do come in and, well, I've done this before, I've had therapy this, and I've done all these things and it's never helped, so this isn't going to help me. But you have to explain why this is going to help you and how it's going to help you and get that active participation. And it's, I feel like I'm the psychotherapist sometimes as far as trying to motivate somebody. I mean, it can be very, very challenging to get them to buy into it. Once you start, you know, once you start like acting like you're going to get better, you start getting better because now you realize that it's not keeping you down. You're going to start building yourself up, but you have to take control over your own body and kind of refocus your energies as far as what your, you know, pain kind of levels are and try to.
And that's always a difficult thing, too, with pain. You know, we're going to have a show just on pain, I think. Mm-hmm. But how do I adapt to pain where I'm not numbing from it, mm-hmm. but not, or avoiding it, but not almost engaging too much in it where it's causing more damage? It's sort of like lifting weights. Yeah. There's this always this sweet spot, mm-hmm. and it's at every single session you go to lift weights. Am I lifting enough where it's causing mm-hmm. enough of a breakdown of the muscle tissue so I could regenerate, but I'm not overdoing it so I'm going to be hurting the next day or two, mm-hmm. right? So it's like that. There's that sweet spot.
Yeah, everybody's pain levels are different. Everybody has different pain tolerances, and some people don't mind pushing through the pain, and some people get a hangnail, and that's the worst pain they've ever had, and that's just, you know, incapacitating for them. So kind of getting to know what they can tolerate and what they can do and how to manage that as far as just like with weightlifting, there's, you know, there's a difference between, you know, muscle soreness and kind of general response to activities and pain. Pain is your body's response to injury. So if you're having pain, someone's getting injured, your body's telling you to stop doing that. So it's really easy to kind of stop doing those things and then start compensating other ways too. So you kind of have to look at that. It's like if you see somebody within, like I said, it's an ankle injury or an acute like sports injury, as far as getting back to things, if you can't walk without a limp, you probably need to change the way you're doing things, or that pain is, you know, continuing to cause you problems. So you kind of have to address those little limps throughout the system. So if you're not using good body mechanics, you're not, you know, doing things the correct way, it's going to start to cause problems later down the road. So you kind of got to correct those little hiccups that you see at first and kind of start from there. So small steps are kind of really important too. So you get someone just, you know, walking a little straighter or moving a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. It's not, everything's not going to be fixed all at once, but you kind of see that you can make like a small correction here that's going to lead to bigger corrections down the road.
You know, it's there's so many topics I want to bring up here because this is just so fascinating. And it's so related to exactly what I do in mental health issues.
Yeah.
And one of the, well, two things that pop up. One is, I'll tell you right now before the station break, and then one afterwards. But right now, one of the things I thought of is almost what you're describing is a maladaptive coping mechanism that people then develop. They get so used to a certain thing. Oh, I've done it this way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I brush my teeth a certain way and I slash my toothbrush around like that's going to do something. Mm-hmm. And I go to the dentist and the dentist says, no, you roll slowly down and move to the next teeth and roll slowly down and you brush your teeth in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it for a little while until I start forgetting or I'm late or I'm stressed or I'm used to compensating. Right?
Yeah.
So I had, full disclosure here, a problem with my feet. And it was causing problems in my legs, which was causing problems in my hip, which is causing problems in my back. Yeah. And so I'm compensating or maladaptively compensating in a way that's making things worse for me.
Yeah.
And how would you say it?
Yeah, just like that. I mean, that makes perfect sense because a lot of times you don't know what you don't know. So, you know, it's like you step on it, you have a rock in your shoe. Well, every time you step on that rock, it starts to hurt. So you start walking a little bit differently. So you start changing a little bit differently. And, you know, everything in the body is connected. So a little awkward position in the foot, the way you're changing it, is going to change how you're kind of moving and walking in general. Your strides are going to be a little shorter. Maybe that starts to tighten up your hips, or you start walking on the outside of your foot, and then you start kind of turning your ankle in. So all those things can kind of start to build and build. So you've got to kind of take care of that little pebble first before it becomes all these other problems.
But then you have to take care of all the other problems now that you've created along the way.
Right.
Yeah.
And
It's fascinating how you're describing this because it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
It's difficult for people to realize that too because, like I said, they don't know what they don't know. So you don't realize that you've not been moving a certain way or, you know, your back's been getting stiff because every time you lean a certain way, it hurts. So you stop moving that way. You come in acute back pain patients. A lot of times they come in totally shifted like one way or the other. And I ask them to stand up straight and they say, well, I am standing up straight. And then you correct them and you tell them, no, this is actually straight. And they're kind of, you know, in awe that actually was different because, you know, they haven't been looking at themselves in the mirror, they haven't been focusing on it. So they're not even aware that problem, you know, has even started because of the way that they've just adapted so much. So you really have to look at all those pieces. So when we examine somebody, we look not just like what's their pain. Okay, yeah, your foot hurts because you've been walking on a rock. Well, you got a rock in your shoe. Well, that's the easy way to solve that problem. But you got to look into deeper, you know, is okay, so why was that affecting everything else? So they come with back pain, but, you know, it's really because you got one leg shorter than another and you've been walking like that for a while. So it really takes a lot to dive into the whole kind of body as a whole unit rather than just looking at one little piece at a time.
Absolutely. By the way, you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry, and today we're doing a great show on physical therapy and mental health issues because they're so intimately related with our fantastic guest, Adam. Do we call you Dr. Adam?
You can. I'm usually not that formal.
And neither am I. And, I was thinking about what you're saying about the rock in the shoe. Mm-hmm. Because I get so many clients that come to me with the same kind of an issue. Mm-hmm. And maybe that rock in the shoe was something happened where they're growing up and maladaptive coping to deal with that stressor. So there was some avoidance of dealing with the world because they had a parent who wasn't the healthiest, let's say. And so then they get a little depressed. Mm-hmm. And because they're feeling a little depressed, they don't want to go outside. And because they're not going outside to engage with people, then they start socially isolating and not getting enough exercise, which makes them more depressed, which makes them more not able to deal with their past, it's not about the past, folks. It's about the past that's present. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about that rock that happened 20 years ago. It's about the rock that's still, you won't let go of.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's helpful for people to realize that is that even though this is something that happened in the past, you can still correct it, you know, today.
Yes.
So that injury that happened, you know, 3 or 4 years ago or a couple months ago that you just never addressed, it's going to continue to plague you and to cause problems that are going to get worse down the road if you don't actually take the steps to get help when you need it and recognize when you need that help too, because it's really easy to just kind of put it off and not go seek out mental health professionals
or physical
therapy for
or
that
the
matter
same,
yeah
you know
again it costs time, it costs money, but the benefits are great once you actually start it. I mean, I wish we had a lot more access to mental health and had a lot more kind of relationships in the health world, because most of the people that I see that are out of work, chronic pain, really could benefit from mental health evaluations and treatments because of the way it's going to affect you and anxiety and stuff. I see it a lot. I mean, I get a lot of patients that come in and on their little intake form, depression is checked on that list. Somebody that I would never have thought had depression,
right?
That kind of seemed to me. I'm not a
but you
not a
you get depressed as
but,
we'll talk about in a future episode. You get depressed because now I'm changing, and I think we could do a show just on, you know, that concept of change. Your body changes.
Yeah.
So I'm 56 years old. I'm never going to be 20 again. Not in this body.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Not so much.
No. And it's like, how do I accept? Okay, I'm injured, but that also means I'm not going back to who I was. But you know what? I don't need to go back to who I was.
Yeah.
It's okay to be who I am going forward.
Yeah.
And creating the best. Yeah.
Focus on what you can do, not necessarily on what you can't do. And that's
or who I was.
Yeah, or who you were, or the things that you did, you know, when you were this great athlete or did all this. It's like, well, now you lose that. And that's kind of a struggle because it's hard to accept that reality that, you know, we're always getting a little bit older and maybe a little less active or a little less limber and strong as we used to be. Mm-hmm. So you really have to learn to adapt to the kind of those new normals and, you know, how to live your life with that and accept it.
Well, the new normal, I think that's a great way to talk about it, as well as allowing ourselves to change our habits, mm-hmm. our bad habits that have gotten yeah. us into.
Yeah, exactly. Reason. And just like, you know, just because you've done something the same way for 10 years doesn't mean that's the right way to do it. You do something wrong for 10 or 15 years or however long, it's still the wrong way of doing it. You right. just adapt it to it, but it's still going to cause those problems. So.
Exactly. Just like in society, every one of my friends eats certain bad foods and drinks certain bad drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
And my parents did that and look, they turned out okay. And yeah. I turned out, no, that doesn't mean you're as good as you could be.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Try to be your best self. That's kind of one of our mottos.
And let go of your past. You know, be who you need to be now. Without with those people, I don't want to be one of those people or mm-hmm. those people or these. You know, so as everyone could hear, we're going to be doing a series of shows on this, which mm-hmm. is fantastic that Adam's willing to do this because yeah. he's just phenomenal. But what? One of the things I think I'd like to do on a bunch of these shows is for Adam to give some people some tips. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're in physical therapy or maybe they're not. Or maybe mm-hmm. they don't know if they need physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
What's some suggestions you could have for people?
I think that sometimes people don't realize, you know, what physical therapy can do, you know, as far as how we can help. The best thing is to see a physical therapist early in the process, I think, because the earlier that you start getting intervention treatment for an injury, the easier it is going to be able to heal that injury. So you sprain that ankle and you think, oh, it's, you know, it's just
so, but
not
how would
getting
you know?
Better. But
I mean,
yeah.
most of us don't know. I didn't
right.
think I needed physical therapy.
Yeah.
And I'm very in tune with my body.
I think that's why our profession, you know, it's our job to educate kind of the people in our communities about why you can go see a physical therapist or why you should. You know, we want to be able to address those issues and help you treat the cause of the pain, not just, you know, manage the symptoms that you're having. If you're just, you know, got pain and taking pain medication, yeah, you can mask that pain, but it's not actually treating the cause of the pain. So when you're having a hard time, you're having a limitation of any kind, see that physical therapist, because we're going to look and we're going to try to find the cause of that pain. You know, why did you hurt your back? Yeah, I know you hurt your back, but why? Was it because you were lifting something wrong? Was it because you were having poor core strength? Has you been sitting mm-hmm. all day and all of a sudden you've tried to do something? You've lost a lot of stability in that area. Mm. So we're going to try to address that problem, but we've got to get people in the door and kind of thinking about physical therapy as, you know, a first stop for those injuries, to kind of look into it and educating other health professionals that, yeah, we can actually treat and do a lot of good here as far as getting an early treatment in.
So as early as possible, mm-hmm. as soon as you know that you think something.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I like the analogy almost to the gym again.
Yeah.
That you might have tried something a million times
mm-hmm.
To do a certain thing doesn't mean that you're doing the correct form.
Right, yeah.
So I think one of the things to slow it down a little bit is make sure that you're doing correct form.
Yeah, exactly. Just for everything.
Mm-hmm. You know, like you're doing a squat or you're doing something, right?
Yeah.
And then the second aspect that I hear you saying is also not just having correct form, mm-hmm. but working from the inside out almost.
Yeah.
So if you're having back problems, you don't always start with the back. It mm-hmm. might be your core,
yeah, absolutely.
Right, as well as your back, as well as your hips, as well as your legs,
yep.
as well as your feet.
Yep.
You know, it's like looking at the body as a whole.
Yeah, look at the total picture. Just like, you know, when you're sitting at work, you know, sitting is the new smoking, basically, they're saying, as far as the amount of problems that you can have just from having a desk job from sitting all day. It's poor. It's rough on your circulation system.
Even
it's,
if
it's
you're getting
your
exercise.
Yeah, even if you're getting exercise, it's really hard to counteract the amount of sitting that we do during the day. Our bodies are poorly adapted to sitting.
That's why I love doing sessions with walking with clients.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get up and move. I mean, it's going to get a lot of things going. You know, standing desks are getting more popular, but that's just another issue entirely. Is I didn't realize that sitting was bad for me, so I just sit at my desk all day. Well, you have to get knowledge. You have to get the education out to people and realize that this really is going to be a problem. It may not be a problem now, but down the road, it's probably going to be. So that's kind of one of the hardest things, is just educating people on what you can do. I do some ergonomic and workstation analysis job descriptions for companies too. So you go and look and see, okay, this job is set up this way, but this job is a high injury rate. So how can we change that? So you don't know what you don't know, and you got to have those kind of professionals looking at it to kind of address that and say, oh, I didn't realize that sitting was so bad for
me. So what's one suggestion that you can give people who are listening? Mm-hmm. Where do you start? Obviously, be aware of your injury if you need something.
Yeah.
But maybe you're not injured. Maybe you're just kind of sore.
Yeah, and you might be getting stiff. You might be, you know, rubbing your neck at the end of the day after you've been looking at the computer monitor.
Yeah.
It's those type of things that aren't necessarily an injury, but you're aware of it. And when you're aware of it, that's when you got to kind of take those steps to correct that, to change kind of what you're doing. You know, seek information, gather information about what you can do, just like sitting. If you're sitting and you're always kind of moving around and your back kind of is a little achy, but it's not really injured, address that, because further down the road, that probably is going to become a problem. You lose some stiffness. You see, oh, it's a little harder for me to look over my shoulder when I'm backing out of the driveway. Well, that's not necessarily an acute injury, but it's definitely a problem that can be addressed by, you know, physical therapy, kind of a quick assessment. And
right. So sometimes just coming to a physical therapist just for an assessment is okay.
Yeah. And we offer, at our clinic, we offer free injury screens too. So if you had a little injury screen or you just didn't know if maybe a physical therapy can or can't help, we can usually do a 10 or 15 minute little screen and not bill for it, as far as, you know, what we're just kind of doing a little quick assessment on. But
so who are you guys?
We are Universal Therapy Group.
And where are you guys located?
We are located on 1401 South Main in Fairfield.
So if you're in Fairfield, if you happen to be in a different place listening, they could contact you guys and you could suggest where else to go if you're, let's say, somewhere else.
Yeah, you can always call us. Our phone number is 641-209-1446. We've got a website, universaltherapygroup.com. We've got a Facebook page, which is the same, Universal Therapy Group.
Wow.
So we're always willing to lend our expertise to pretty much anyone. Even if you don't live around, call and we'll talk.
And yeah. So just a 1 second, let me just get one practical minute. So I'm sitting there, I work at a desk all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do a lot of video conferencing and mm-hmm. I do a lot of sitting and talking to mm-hmm. people. When I'm sitting at the computer, I want to have the computer at eye level, right?
You want your monitor at about eye level, so you're not having to strain
your
neck forward or up or down.
So my eyes are at the middle
of the screen. Yeah, slightly. Your monitor should be just slightly at a downward angle, so you're not having to tilt your head up or down. So you don't have to nod your neck forward. So slightly downward, just kind of the normal, you know, line of sight for your eyes, which is just slightly downward, just basically on the angle of your neck in that good position. So slightly downward. Your keyboard, you should be able to sit and type with your arms, with your elbows at about a 90-degree angle and your wrists in a neutral position. So you shouldn't have your wrists cocked up real high, like on those little those keyboard lifts they have. Those aren't always a great idea because your arms are kind of an extended position when you're typing. So you should be able to keep your wrists in a fairly neutral position.
I noticed.
Yeah, or slightly floating, or resting on one of those kind of gel pads. Because too low, you're going to have to drop a little low, and you're going to put more stress on.
Right, I think that's what I'm doing is, because mine's on like on a keyboard drawer, and I notice my wrists are almost now too hanging down.
Yeah, sometimes you got to put down too far, so it needs to be at an angle that you can work in a more neutral position and kind of have that support and that rest without extending it or flexing it too much.
Okay. And what else? Just look at your chair to make sure.
Yeah, look at your chair. Make sure you have, when you're sitting, you shouldn't be slouched in your chair. You should have good lumbar support. So that means you have good support in the lower part of your back. You generally have a small little kind of a C-shaped curve in the lower part of your back. You should have a chair that has pretty full contact with that area, because otherwise you're going to slouch in around your back forward. And that's going to put more pressure on the discs in your back and those muscles that are kind of supporting everything. So you should be pretty well upright. Your feet should be flat on the floor, and you should be able to sit with about a 90-degree angle in your knees while you're sitting upright. So you shouldn't be having to sit on the edge of your desk to get your feet on the floor.
Mm.
You should be able to sit pretty well squarely and be able to reach your keyboard without having to shift your position a lot and lean your neck forward and backwards.
That sounds great. And the last thing is obviously work on your core a little bit, maybe 5 minutes every hour to go for a walk or something, right?
Yeah, get up and move around. The worst thing you can do is sit still in one position for too long. Our bodies are not very well suited for being sedentary. So get up and move is about the best advice you can give anybody.
Well, thank you, Adam, so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Yeah. And do please come back. I'm really excited to go to the series.
I look forward to doing it again.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Adam of Universal Therapy. And this is Mental Health Matters at KRUU. Bye, everyone. Bye.